The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Almighty has said regarding such people, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe in the Almighty Creator and you're coasting along and you think that something pleasant is going to happen at the end of your life, or that you're just going to vaporize and disappear, you're in for a very nasty shock. You could spend a very long time in your casket with your rotting body, or in a crematorium oven, or maybe you'll get to haunt one of your family or friends. Might even, if you're a really accomplished sinner, get to be promoted somewhat in the hierarchy of demons. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" To put this in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. Today's program is about the glory of death as a committed believer, the third category that we've just referred to. Overview of today's program. This broadcast discusses the glory that awaits someone in heaven if they die as a committed believer. After the introduction, we'll look at the foolish virgins who were never filled with the Spirit of Yah. We'll then look at the principal ranks in heaven. We'll see that of those who have had some level of relationship with the Creator, the first are the adulterous wives, then the wise stewards, then the good and faithful servants, then the overcomers, and finally the friends. It is stated that each one of us has a choice as to what we accomplish in our time on earth. Reference is made to the article on the seven components of drawing close to Yah on the website. And finally, we will examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic manager in South Africa for 25 years, and more recently have been a business executive and consultant in the UK. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Francis asked, is erotic literature only written by non-believers? Francis, probably yes. The vast majority of believers are very inhibited sexually and probably wouldn't share what they do sexually anyway, because most religious people tend to condemn sex and regard sex as something unclean or something, when in fact it is a powerful gift and a beautiful gift from the Almighty. Jasmine asked, what if you believe but do wrong along the way? Jasmine, in that case, you just get on your knees, you take bread and wine, and you ask for forgiveness. I've talked about this at some length in some of the earlier programs. But basically, you say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I confess that I've sinned. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me turn around and go the other way. And I thank you in the name of Yeshua that you forgive me. That's basically all that's required. It's not difficult to course correct. It may be difficult getting to the point where you realize you need to course correct, but the actual course correction from a spiritual point of view is fairly straightforward. Then obviously you need to walk out the consequences of your prayer. Amber asked, why should someone believe? Amber, well, if you listen to this program, if you listen to the last few programs on what happens if you don't believe, I reckon that's a pretty good reason to believe. You don't want to end up as a demon or ancestor spirit. You don't want to end up in the outer darkness. So I would recommend that you believe and make a real effort to build a strong relationship with the Almighty. Jessup asked, did he only create us to have friends? Jessup, only he created us entirely to be his friends. He created us to share our lives with him. He created us to partner with him. He created us to talk to him constantly, to consult with him, to ask his opinion, ask his advice, help him get involved in our businesses, help him get involved in our families. He wanted to have a deep, personal, intimate relationship with us. That's what's meant by being his friend. Virtually nobody understands that, and very, very few people make any attempt to do that. Lucas asked, will we run out of time to change and repent? Lucas, well, we're all going to die at some point, so the longer you leave it, the less time you've got to course correct. But at the same time, Father is merciful. So if you course correct at the absolute last minute, he will take that into account. If you've procrastinated, don't expect to be favorably treated then. So the sooner you change course, the sooner you repent of what you've been doing, the sooner you accept belief in the Almighty and turn to him, the better, quite frankly. Ethan asked, so if there was only Noah's family, would that mean there was incest? Ethan, by today's standards, yes, that is the case. In those days, it wasn't a problem because genetically they were all very strong. Over time, because of inbreeding and genetic weakening, it became necessary to introduce the prohibitions which we today know as incest. Certainly the brothers and sisters and first cousins marrying. That was introduced around about the time of Moses, initially at the time of Noah, and in fact at the time of Adam. Remember that Adam's children all had to marry their brothers and sisters. Originally, incest was only was limited. Yara asked, by hearing this, it seems that there is no wonder things are the way they are. We're in sin because the structure of things after the flood put us in a bad start. Yara, I'm not absolutely sure what you're asking there, but the fact of the matter is that by allowing Japheth to survive the flood, we had an army of idolaters. And by allowing Ham to survive the flood, we had an army of ancestor demon worshippers. And so, yes, that put us off to a very bad start, and we've never recovered from that. So let's look at the glory of death as a committed believer. This broadcast examines the outlook for committed believers and outlines the extreme glory, esteem, and power that awaits committed believers when they die. This is in stark contrast to what awaits unbelievers and nominal believers. The various ranks in heaven are outlined together with descriptions of the appearance of these ranks by someone who's been there. Folks, this is so, so important. The vast majority of people who don't believe have absolutely no idea of what I've been talking about for the last few weeks. Surely, if you know that if you're an unbeliever, you're going to end up as a demon in a casket or a furnace or haunting a loved one, you would choose to sort your life out and believe. By the same token, if you believed once, have done nothing about it, and you realize you're going to end up in the outer darkness, you would change and make a real effort to grow in relationship. The flip side of that is if you understand what I'm talking about this evening, there is a huge, 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 huge reward for serving the Almighty faithfully. So why would you not want to do that? Introduction. In the previous two articles, we've looked at the horror of death as an unbeliever, trapped in your coffin forever, or haunting a relative or friend. We've also looked at the horror of death as a nominal believer, relegated to the outer darkness in heaven with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity. In this article, I want to look at the other side of the picture, what we were created for, the glory that follows death as a committed believer. Before we go there, I need to post a caveat. If as a believer you die with unrepented sin, you will first come before the judgment seat and be sentenced to time in hell, the place of correction, for all of your unrepented sin. See the pages on hell on the website to get a graphic picture. Paintings made by a young lady who was taken to hell and shown around hell. Horrible, horrible, horrible torture. You don't want to go there. To understand this, it is important to understand that Yahushua died a terrible and tormented death to pay the price for all sin that you confess and repent of as a believer. It is therefore only fitting that if you fail to avail yourself of his sacrifice, that you should pay a terrible price for your sin. This is necessary so that when you finally enter heaven, you have dealt with all sin and you can stand before the throne of judgment, free of sin and blemish. Folks, it is entirely possible to live a life above sin in this life. Yeshua showed us how to do it. He's provided us with the means of repentance. It's absolutely doable. It's up to you to do it. For those who die as committed believers, once they are through any time in hell required for correction, and this can be a considerable time of torment and intense suffering, they are admitted to heaven and rewarded according to their works on earth. There is a continuum in heaven from the foolish virgins who are at the outer reaches of the throne room, through to the friends who sit on the very highest thrones, very close to Yah and Yeshua, for eternity, with glorious bodies we cannot imagine, and massive supernatural power and authority. So the question is, where will you end up if you're a committed believer? Statistics in the sections that follow relate to the approximate count on earth on the 25th of December 2015, a minuscule fragment of the world population. Remember that there are about 20 million unbelieving believers destined for the outer darkness in heaven. There are also of the order of 100 million believing unbelievers. Those are people who at some level believe something based on the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, some pastor, some priest, imam, rabbi, etc. But they have never come to a deep revelation of Yah as Almighty Creator, and so they will not enter heaven at all. Those destined for heaven, nearly all with considerable time in hell first, are a very small quantum. Very important to understand the believing unbelievers. The vast majority of people in traditional religions, it doesn't matter which one they're in, are not believers. They think they're believers. They believe the Bible. They pray to Jesus or Mary or Muhammad or whoever. They are not believers. If you do not have a deep revelation of the reality of the Almighty Creator, you are not a believer. In this discussion, I will quote extracts from the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, who was taken up into heaven in the early 90s. This book is available to purchase on Amazon in a book named The Vision, and also available on the website under the Eternity menu item. In the quotes that follow, I've replaced the traditional names with the correct names Yah and Yeshua. If you search for The Final Quest by Rick Joyner in Amazon, you'll find this book. Joyner describes the throne room as follows. Soon the path opened into a hall so large that I felt that the earth itself could not contain it. The beauty of it could not even be imagined by human architects. I had never experienced anything like what filled my soul as I beheld this room. At the far end was the source of the glory that emanated from everything else in the room. I knew that it was the Almighty, and I was a little bit afraid as I began walking towards him. I did not even think about how great the distance was. It was all so wonderful that I felt that I could walk forever and enjoy every step. In earthly terms that somehow did not relate here, it would have taken me many days to reach the throne. Following is a brief discussion of the different ranks that are available to you to qualify for if you're going to heaven. I really encourage you to engage with what I'm saying. This is open to every single human being on the planet. You personally, you who are listening to me right now, are able to qualify for a really prestigious place in heaven if you put your mind to it. And I will certainly give you all the help I can. The first rank in heaven are the foolish virgins. And at the time the analysis was done, there were about 2 million people on earth who would qualify. If you've truly believed and actively served the Almighty, but never been filled with His set-apart Holy Spirit, you will qualify as a foolish virgin. With a somewhat glorious body and some level of power and authority on the outer fringes of the throne room, you will make it into heaven, but not very far into heaven. Joyner says, they were dazzling, more regal than anyone I'd ever seen. Their countenance was captivating. Never had such peace and confidence graced a human face. Each one was beautiful beyond any earthly comparison. One of those that Joyner meets here says as follows, there is an aristocracy here. The rewards for our earthly lives are the eternal positions that we have here. This great multitude here are those whom Yeshua called foolish virgins. We knew Yah and trusted in the stake of Yeshua for deliverance from damnation, but we did not really live for Yah, but for ourselves. We did not keep our vessels filled with the oil of the set-apart spirit. We have eternal life, but we wasted our lives on earth. So, interesting, spectacular resurrected bodies, great authority, great power, but they're actually the least in heaven. Let's see where that takes us. Joyner continues, I was really surprised by this, but I also knew that no one could lie in that place. The foolish virgins gnashed their teeth in the outer darkness, I protested. And that we did. The grief that we experienced when we understood how we had so wasted our lives was beyond any grief possible on earth. The darkness of that grief can only be understood by those who experienced it. Such darkness is magnified when it is revealed next to the glory of the one we failed. You are standing now amongst the lowest rank in heaven. There are no greater fools than the ones who know the great salvation of Yah, but then go on living for themselves. To come here and learn the reality of that folly is a grief beyond what an earthly soul can experience. We are those who suffered this outer darkness because of this greatest of follies. No greater fools than ones who know the salvation of Yah, but then go on living for themselves. Notice the difference here. They got beyond the point of just believing. They got to a point of knowing the salvation of Yah, knowing about Yah, but doing things their own way because they never got filled with the Spirit, never got into a personal relationship with Yah, and just did their own thing, probably Bible worshippers or Quran worshippers or Torah worshippers. Serious error, serious deception, but at least they made it into heaven. If you look at what he says about their peace, at least this is something. You're better off to do this than do any of the other stuff. Joyner continues, I was still incredulous. But you are more glorious and full of more joy and peace than I ever imagined, even for those in heaven. I do not feel any remorse in you, and yet I know that here you cannot lie. This does not make sense to me. Looking me straight in the eyes, he continued, Yah also loves us with a love greater than you can yet understand. Before his judgment seat, I tasted the greatest darkness of soul and remorse that can be experienced. Though here we do not measure time as you do, it seemed to last for as long as my life on earth had lasted. All of my sins and follies which I had not repented of passed before me, and before all who are here. The grief of this you cannot understand until you've experienced it. I felt that I was in the deepest dungeon of hell even as I stood before Yah. He was resolute until my life had been completely reviewed. When I said I was sorry and asked for the mercy of the stake, you may know that as the cross, he wiped away my tears and took away the great darkness. He looked at me with a love that was beyond anything that you can now understand. He gave me this robe. I no longer feel the darkness or bitterness that I knew as I stood before him, but I remember it. Only here can you remember such things without continuing to feel the pain. A moment in the lowest part of heaven is much greater than 1,000 years of the highest life on earth. Now my mourning at my folly has been turned into joy, and I know that I will know joy forever, even if I am in the lowest place in heaven. Folks, if you don't believe, please pay attention. This is so important. Many of those in traditional religions and traditional denominations where there is no spiritual infilling with the Spirit of Yah, fall into this category, noting that most of the people in that category end up as believing unbelievers or unbelieving believers. So sincere believers through traditional Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other religions may well end up as foolish virgins. The majority of those in the outer darkness are the product of conventional evangelism, particularly by Christianity, where people are led to some form of belief and then abandoned to lead their lives without any direction. Note that if you're a servant who has produced people in the above categories, you will pay a serious price when you come before the judgment seat. Folks, this is really important. There are so many people, certainly in Christianity, running around converting people. Get somebody to pray the so-called sinner's prayer and then abandon them. You need to understand, Yah is not impressed with what you're doing. Yah is not impressed with all the people that you are preparing to go into the outer darkness. Frankly, he would rather have them stay as unbelievers than that you clutter up the outer darkness with people who have absolutely no relationship, have absolutely no interest in serving him. Please think about it. You are going to have a nasty shock on the day of judgment if you're one of these people who's run around converting people and then abandoning them. Let's look at the principal ranks in heaven. If you've been filled with your spirit, you will be promoted further in the throne room. And the more you've conquered sin and the more you've truly faithfully served Yah, the closer you will be to the throne. If you've really gone out, all out to the end of your life and become a friend of Yah, you will sit on a very high throne with a glorious resurrected body beyond anything we can imagine, with great power, authority, and supernatural ability. It is up to you where you end up. Joyner reports, as I continued toward the judgment seat, I began to pass those who were of higher rank in the kingdom. After many more veils had been stripped away from me by meetings with those who had stumbled over the same problems that I had, I began to meet those who had overcome. I met couples who had served Yah and each other faithfully to the end. Their glory here was unspeakable, and their victory encouraged me that it was possible to stay on the path of life and serve him in faithfulness. Those who stumbled, stumbled in many different ways. Those who prevailed all did it the same way. They did not deviate from their devotion to the first and greatest commandment, loving Yah. By this their service was done unto him, not men, not even for spiritual men. These were the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he went. Folks, again, so important. If you want to qualify to sit on a throne, or even qualify some level up in heaven, follow Yah, love Yah. Love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That is fundamentally what you have to do. Joyner continues, when I was still not even halfway to the throne, what had been the indescribable glory of the first rank now seemed to be the outer darkness in comparison to the glory of those I was now passing. The greatest beauty on earth would not qualify to be found anywhere in heaven, and I was told that this room was just the threshold of realms indescribable. Let's look at the ranks of those who have at some level had a relationship with Father Yah as follows. First of all, adulterous wives, currently about 500,000 on earth. These are people who were filled at some level with the spirit of Yah, but they worshipped Yeshua instead of Yah and or worshipped the Bible and or worshipped other spokesmen and spokeswomen, in other words, prophets or prophetesses, such as worshipping Muhammad and or other artifacts. They hardly recognize Yah at all. But within these constraints, they've made a significant contribution in worship, lifestyle, and ministry. These are predominantly charismatic Christians. Folks, it's so important to understand. if you are worshiping Yeshua, worshiping Jesus, worshiping the Bible, worshiping the person who founded your denomination or your religion, you're a whoremonger. You're an adulterer. But because of Father's love, because you've been filled with His Spirit, because at some level some of your worship does direct itself to Him, you will make it into heaven. But you will get a nasty shock. The next category, as we move closer to the throne, are the wise stewards. Currently, back in December 2015, about 200,000 people on earth. These are people who, filled with the Spirit of Yah and at a material level, have focused on Yah, albeit most of the time as God and the Lord. They have more glorious bodies and more power and authority. This is the first rank of those who at some level have been materially faithful to Yah and materially pleasing to Him. The next rank up are the good and faithful servants, of which there are about 5,000. Good and faithful servants are those who are filled with the Spirit of Yah and have made a material difference on earth and served for the Yah at some measure effectively. They have even more glorious bodies and more power and authority and are at the front of the throne room before the thrones. Folks, it's important to understand that in this life on earth, you have a number of distinct functions. One of those is to live life. Do whatever you need to do to put food on the table, put a roof over your head, raise your family, live life. Every one of us is also called to a ministry. I don't care who you are, forget about this nonsense of the fivefold ministry. Every one of you, every one of us, is called to be a minister, be it as a spokesperson, spokesman, spokeswoman, prophet, be it as an evangelist, be it as a shepherd. There are only three categories, and you are called to one of those. You live your life and you work in order to provide the finances for your ministry. You are not intended to get a whole bunch of people in a building. I don't care whether it's a church, a mosque, a synagogue, whatever, yoga school. You're not intended to get a whole lot of people in a room and lecture them and teach them. They're supposed to learn for themselves. So share what you know, help them to grow, and expect them to go out and start their own ministries. And don't beat the sheep. Don't use Yah as an excuse for handing around a begging bowl and talking all sorts of nonsense as to why people should give you money so that you don't have to work. You can engage in so-called full-time ministry. Folks, that's not the way it's intended to be. You need to earn your own living to support your own ministry. And then you need to get on and do whatever it is Father wants you to do on His behalf. And if you do that, you will be rewarded when you get to heaven. I can't stress this enough. The present model in all organized religions is a complete and utter mess. Father calls pastors the prison warders of His people. Please hear me. You personally are called to be a minister in the service of Yah. Let's look at the overcomers. Overcomers are those who have overcome sin and the trials and tribulations of this world and who are seated on the lower thrones, when even more glorious bodies and even greater power, authority, and supernatural gifts. Joyner reports, as I approach the judgment seat of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, you may know that as Christ, those in the highest ranks were also sitting on thrones that were all a part of Yah's throne. Even the least of these thrones was more glorious than any earthly throne many times over. Some of these were rulers over cities on earth who would soon take their place. Others were rulers over the affairs of heaven, and others over the affairs of the physical creation, such as star systems and galaxies. However, it was apparent that those who were given authority over cities were esteemed above those who had even been given authority over galaxies. The value of a single child was more than a galaxy of stars, because the set-apart spirit dwelt in men, and Yah had chosen men as his eternal dwelling place. In the presence of his glory, the whole earth seemed as insignificant as a speck of dust, and yet was so infinitely esteemed that the attention of the whole world, the whole host of heaven, was upon it. Folks, I just want to go back to that point. The value of a single child was more than a galaxy of stars. And we're slaughtering children by the millions. We've legitimized abortion. And we destroy those children in the most abominable ways. For those who perpetrate that, if they are believers at some level, they face a terrible judgment. Joyner goes on to report, I turned and looked back in the direction I'd come from. From before his throne, I could see the entire room. The spectacle was beyond any earthly comparison for its glory. Millions filled the ranks. Each individual in the lowest rank was more awesome than an army, and I knew had more power. It was far beyond my capacity to absorb such a panorama of glory. Even so, I could see only a very small portion of the great room was occupied. Heaven is glorious. The position that awaits every human who qualifies is glorious, powerful, esteemed, spectacular. But you have to choose, and you have to do the hard work to qualify. Note that heaven is largely empty. This is a tragedy. It is also an opportunity for you to start working to fill it. Folks, Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, created human beings to fill that throne room to full capacity. And it's hardly got anybody in it in terms of that capacity. Are you willing to reach out now and commit to turning that situation around? I urge you to do so. Finally, we get to Friends, and on that date, there was only one, and there's still only one. Friends are those who Yah has actively called friend. Currently, there's only one human being who might qualify if he endures to the end of his life. Yeshua is the preeminent friend, the King of all human kings and Lord of all human lords, with massive power and authority, massive supernatural gifts, and massively glorious body. Other friends include Noah, Abram, and Moses, Moshe, people who've made a big impact on the earth in their day. Friends are people who instinctively and as a matter of absolute routine adhere strictly to the Ten Commandments and live above sin. They talk to Yah and discuss things with Yah constantly. They formulate plans with Yah and pray those plans into existence as requested by Yah. They worship as their daily routine, and they are committed to serving Yah faithfully and making a difference on earth to the end of their lives. Folks, it's open to you to become a friend. Only thing standing between you and becoming Yah's closest friend in this generation is you. You've got to deal with your sin. You've got to observe strictly the Ten Commandments. You've got to put Yah first in every aspect of your life. You've got to start to understand the way He sees things. Understand why Yah sees the coronavirus as a great bonus, because people are turning to Him. Most of the people who are dying are unbelievers. He's not fazed about the unbelievers. He wants people to turn to Him. He wants people to believe in Him. He wants people to fill that throne room. Can you reposition your thinking and reach out to Him today? So you have a choice. What do you choose? I strongly recommend that you go all out to overcome sin and the trials and tribulations of this life and seek to at least qualify as a wise steward. But I encourage you to go beyond this and aim to become Yah's friend. There are currently a great number of vacancies at all levels. Yah is lonely. He deeply desires friends. The opportunity is there for you. There's a huge amount of information on the website at https://www.endtimeissueministries.org, and a huge amount of guidance. Nearly all that is on the website, barring the most recent articles, is available in the form of ebooks to download from the Compilation of Most Writings page. There are of the order of 1,000 articles on the articles catalogue, also accessible through the article tag cloud, the article search, and the article sliders. Folks, when I started out on this journey 27 years ago, I was struggling to find the truth. I followed all sorts of people, and only to find out that most of what they were teaching was error. I've written thousands and thousands of pages. The books amount to 9,000 pages plus. And more has been written since then. If you turn your mind to it and really engage with those books and really engage with the website, you can fast track your relationship with Father. You won't find answers to all your questions, but you're welcome to contact me if you don't find the answer on the website. Let's talk a minute about seven components of drawing close to Yah. The web page is regarding seven components of drawing close to Yah, and greater detail on the radio pages on the website will give you very detailed guidance on how to draw close to Yah and thereby qualify for any of the ranks referred to above. This opportunity is open to you, whatever your race, whatever your religion, whatever your age, whatever your level of education, whatever your financial position, whatever someone once told you about whether you qualify or not. Folks, it's a lie that you can't go to heaven and become Yah's friend if you are not a certain race or color or creed or religion or whatever. It's just not true. Father created us to be His friends. He's not going to turn you away if you go to Him in humility and say, Father Yah, creator of the heavens and earth, I ask you today to help me to become your friend. He will pull out all the stops to help you. I'm here to help you. The website's there to help you. It's absolutely possible for you who's sitting right now listening to me to become Yah's friend. There is absolutely no reason you can't become His friend other than your willingness to make the sacrifices that are necessary to get there. In wrapping up, I would like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? More importantly, have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Father wants a deep personal relationship with each and every human being on the planet. He is capable of multitasking. He could handle it if all 7 whatever billion people on Earth were his friends. That's what we were originally designed for. Don't let anybody confuse you and lie to you and mislead you and say that because you're this race or this skin color or this hair color or this eye color or this religion or whatever, you can't go to heaven, you can't become a friend, you can't whatever. It's absolute arrant nonsense. You, right now, can choose to become a friend, you can choose to become a wise steward, you can choose to become a good and faithful servant, you can choose to be an overcomer, you can choose to become a friend. Only you are standing in the way. 5 key documents, which is probably the most important for you to engage with. They're all available on the podcasts, on the radio website, and also on the radio pages on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, overview of the whole topic. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator I've just spoken about. Absolutely important, probably the most important document of the whole lot. If you take that, apply it, you will get close to Father relatively quickly, probably in about 2 years if you really go for it. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Important to know his true name and where it occurs. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of these available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's J-A-M-E-S to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, this is so important. I had someone accuse me earlier this week of not respecting Yeshua. Far from it. Yeshua told us to love Yah, the eternally self-existing, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We should esteem Yeshua. He's the most powerful created being in the universe. It's our job to make a way for him to return. It's our job to make his enemies his footstool. And everything that I've been talking about for the last year and a half on this program is about making his enemies his footstool. So important to understand. Respect Yeshua, esteem Yeshua, do not worship Yeshua, worship Yah alone. I can't stress this enough. There is so much confusion about this, and we've discussed in previous programs why that happens. I urge you to serve Yah, become Yah's friend. Good night. Father, I